Written on the board, he that answereth the matter. The full verse that we're going to consider this morning is he that answereth the matter before he heareth. And the message that the Lord put on my heart, he actually gave me this message. I haven't preached it, but he gave me this message a number of months ago and felt like the Lord at the time he gave it to me wanted me to table it. For the time being, and so feel like, Lord, have us go ahead and share that with you this morning. The message is practical, very practical instruction. It's nothing that, it may not stir you as much as some types of messages, but I believe that if we will open our hearts to some counsel and some advice this morning, that it would help you in your home life. It would help you on the job. It'll help you children at school. It'll help in the body of Christ. I'd like to begin by relating a little instance. There was a photographer for a national magazine that was assigned to get photos of a big fire. And at the scene where the fire was in this forest, there was smoke just all over the area. So it would be a very difficult place to get good pictures. And so arrangements were made for him to get a plane from where he was to fly him to the locate, to fly him to take pictures of this forest fire. And he had to get it quickly, and so they arranged for this little plane to be there, and they said, when you get to the airport, there'll be a plane waiting for you, and they'll take you up to get these pictures. So this reporter, photographer, he got to the airport as quickly as he could, and he went out to the tarmac. It was just one of these little airports, and he got out to the tarmac, and there was a plane right there waiting to take off. So he runs out there with his equipment, jumps in the plane and said, let's go. So the pilot kind of looks at him and starts off down the runway, and they take off. And you know, around forest fires, the wind is extra strong, very dangerous place to be flying around a forest fire because of the wind currents. And they got up, and the photographer said, fly on the north side of the fire, and the pilot, he said, why? He said, why? And he said, because I'm going to take pictures. And after just a minute, the pilot looked at him and said, you mean you're not the instructor? You get it? He was someone that didn't really know how to fly very well. He was learning, and he was expecting the instructor. But on the other hand, the photographer was expecting a highly trained pilot to take him in a dangerous situation. They both made assumptions, didn't they? And they both could have gotten in a lot of trouble because of it. And in their own sense, you couldn't necessarily blame either one of them, could you? But they made assumptions. Now, you don't have to raise your hand this morning, but have you ever made an assumption and gotten in trouble because of it? The scripture that we'd like to consider again is over in the 18th chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs, the 18th chapter and the 13th verse. It says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. In other words, if there's a situation that you give an answer to before you really know what's going on, the scripture says that's a shame and a folly unto him. And again, I think and I believe that this is very basic counsel and advice that would make a difference in a lot of people's marriages. It would make a difference in people's home, even parents and how they relate with their children. And it goes both ways. Sometimes parents have an answer, and maybe they're going to administer some correction before they really know the whole situation. And sometimes children start to try to explain, and the parents are done. They don't want to hear any more justifications or excuses. But if they just hold on a minute, just hold on a minute and listen, then they can make a better assessment of what's going on. And sometimes children with their parents, you don't really take time to listen to what's being said, and you get in trouble because of it. In a marriage, it can be the same way, making assumptions that they did this and they shouldn't have done it without taking the time to find out what were you thinking. What was the motivation? You know, what was behind it? There may have been a situation that arose that you have no idea that dictated their behavior. and you respond in such a way that causes a greater problem, and you really didn't take time to find out what happened. Talking about interpersonal relationships this morning. He that answereth the matter before he heareth, it is a folly and a shame to him. And I dare say that probably all of us have been guilty of that, have we not? Just one time, do you think? Multiple times, right? So I believe the Lord would have us just to take a step back. Chad mentioned in Sunday school, sometimes it's good to stop and just personally apply it to our own life. So as we look into the Word a little bit this morning, apply it to your life. And if there are some things that maybe we need to take a step back, and maybe sometimes even we have made assumptions about things, and you know the thing about assumption is we usually think we're right. Is that not correct? I mean, what gives an assumption merit is I was the one that made the assumption, and I didn't just do it blindly. I had some of these come back to opinions that Brother Tony mentioned. I had some opinions of why I made that assessment, but maybe I haven't really taken time to find out all the facts. And we're going to look at two things this morning. One is there are time to find out the facts, and there's another time to commit the facts to the Lord and mind your own business. Now, is that too straight? He that answer a matter before he heareth it. There are a lot of problems caused when we don't do this. Danger of assumptions. Think about believing. Have you ever thought there's a problem and there really wasn't? Do you know if you think there's a problem and there isn't, you're going to make a problem. Now, brethren, I don't know if I'd ask you this. I think I will. Have you ever asked your wife, said, well, honey, what's wrong? What's bothering? Oh, nothing. Okay. Is that the end of it? Maybe it is with you, but I like to know what's going on. Honey, is something bothering you? What's wrong? And if you ask too many times, you're going to cause a problem when there wasn't a problem to start with. Am I the only one that's ever done that? Come on, brethren, help me out now. Alright, thank you. But there's going to be times that we can assume in relationships or in situations there's a problem there, and so we start acting as if there is a problem. And it ends up making a problem when maybe there wasn't really an issue. And the reverse is true as well. I thought everything was fine. I've been there too. And I can think of a situation one time, I didn't know there's a problem. And someone came up and said, oh, we heard about this problem that so-and-so has with you. And I said, what? I don't know anything about it. I don't know what you're talking about. There was a problem and I just assumed things were fine. See, it goes both ways. Assumptions. We have to be careful. There was most of you have heard about Houdini. Someone that could unlock, he could lock him up in all kinds of odd ways, and he'd unlock, he'd escape. And he was in Europe on a tour, and he was put into an old town jail. And he was in this jail, and he worked, I believe they said, for almost an hour to try to unlock this jail door. Just an old jail. He was used to getting out of stuff in seconds. And he worked and worked and worked until he couldn't do it. And finally, he was so weary of working on it, he just kind of leaned against the door. And the door just swung open. It had never been locked. And he worked for a long time, assuming there's a problem sometimes when there's not. Answering a matter before the facts are really in. Part of the thing about assumptions is that sometimes we deal with partial truths. There are some things, some aspects that are true, but some assumptions are made on some things that aren't really relevant or are not even accurate. Let me give you an example. Bring it into marriage. What about and I hope you brethren never do this, but I've heard people do. Husband comes home from work and dinner's not on the table, and he just expected that it was time to eat when he got home. And he has sharp words for his wife. Dinner hadn't even been started. And no food around. He comes home, husband's tired and weary, and wives have compassion on your husbands when that happens too. But the husband comes in and has some sharp words with his wife. What have you been doing? You know, there's no dinner on the table. What have you been doing? Just wasting a while of your time away. And some sharp words that hurts her. Without finding out, there might be a reason dinner isn't ready. Now, maybe your cows got out. And maybe she was out hunting your cows and getting them back in, and that's the reason dinner isn't ready. And if you would have just stopped and said, "Oh, honey, how's your day been?" And find out what happened when maybe you didn't shut the gate when you went to work and you let the cows out and she's been out working all day cleaning up your mess and then you're hurting her because she didn't have dinner ready. But you see how that happens? If the husband would have stopped and taken time to find out how her day was and find out what was going on before assuming the negative. And it tends to be in relationships with people so often that we tend to assume the worst. Is that fair? A fair assessment? It's not right. But it tends to be what we do. We tend to assume, if there's any negative to assume, we assume it. But it will get us in trouble sometimes. And I want to encourage us in marriage, again, that's where it starts, but with our children, with people, in relationships, be careful about making assumptions, even when you can say, "But we're dealing with the facts." And I like to deal with facts. That's just the way I'm wired. I like to deal with the facts analytically. The facts are, you know what? Dinner's not ready. It's not on the table. But why isn't it on the table? Your expectations of what people should do or shouldn't do, when it's not done, you can't just look at the fact that it's done or not done. Sometimes there's a reason it's not done, and maybe you're the problem. Maybe that's the reason you're struggling, or you think they're not doing their job, is because you're part of the problem. Is that not a reality in relationships? So before making assumptions, we need to be sure of our facts. But we also need to look behind what's going on even behind the facts. What are the thoughts and the emotions that are at work? James 1 and 19, very familiar passage. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be," what? "Swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Let every man, child, woman, be swift to hear. And when he was speaking about being swift to hear, he was speaking about before you make assumptions. Before you answer a matter. Have you ever had someone come up and you ask him a question, "What do you think about such and such? What do you think about this?" And they've got their opinion and they can give it to you. Or maybe someone asks you what your opinion is and you give it to them. And then they say, "I don't think you really have all the facts." I remember, and I've tried to be careful about it, but I've learned that sometimes you have to be real careful about making assessments of situations when you don't have all the facts. Especially when it comes to people. Especially when it comes to people. And this is the reason I believe he said be swift to hear. Because it's easy for me. Rather, it's better to be quick to listen and to learn before stirring up a problem and reacting in anger to situations. There's a lot of situations, folks, there's a lot of problems in marriages, and there's a lot of problems in congregations and on the job that wouldn't be problems if people would follow the counsel that you're hearing this morning. If people would just be slower to get upset at something. If people would be slower to make judgments on other people, make a judgment on your husband or wife, make a judgment on someone in the congregation, make a judgment on the ministry when you really don't have all the facts. You see, we live, part of serving God is, correctly, is that we are taught to be an humble people. And we can't always go putting out every fire that we see, can we? And you know, we're going to get there in a minute, but on the other hand, you know what a busybody is? A busybody is someone that goes out and creates smoke so everybody else thinks there's fire. In other words, they're swift to speak. And they really don't have all the facts. But in relationships, it is impossible. And it's not wisdom to think that you should go out and every time you see smoke, go get bucket water and go try to put out a fire. Because if you believe in humility, and you believe in walking quietly with the Lord, there are going to be times in your life that misjudgments are going to be made. There are going to be times that things are going to be said about you as a person that are completely incorrect. I told my wife one time, I heard what someone had said about me. And I told my wife, I said, you know, if I believed everything that I heard about me, I said, I wouldn't like me either. You understand what I'm saying? Because in life, there are going to be times that things are going to be said or incorrect assessments that are not right. You can't go around putting out every single fire. So if you find yourself in a place you think, well, I heard that and that's not true and this didn't really happen, sometimes you just need to commit some things to God and just go on and be faithful and don't think you need to go load your bucket up with water because you'll be running all over and it'll run you ragged. There's a time you need to commit some things to the Lord, and folks, truth and justice will prevail in the end. You may have to bear some injustice sometimes in this life, but in the end, God is the one that knows, is He not? And I think time has a way of proving truth and error. And when it comes to relationships with people, I think time has a way of proving what was really right and what was not. So sometimes we just need to let some time elapse. But be swift to hear. Be slow to speak. Be quick about making quick judgments on situations when maybe I really don't know. But then we have to acknowledge that we don't know. See? Which means my assessment might be faulty. But I think all of us can look back at assessments we made, even if you didn't tell anybody. Have you ever made some judgments in your mind and you didn't tell anybody? We all have. We're human. And then later you heard more information. I have. People have come up and shared something with me. I thought, oh my, that's horrible. Oh wow. And I thought, oh, that person, that was bad. And I didn't say anything. It wasn't really any of my business. Didn't say anything. Uninvolved. And then later, that very person comes to us and shares some things and some of what's going on. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm sure glad I didn't say anything because it totally changed my perspective of a situation. And I thought I knew because, you know, normally the first thing you hear is what you normally tend to believe. We need to be careful, folks. We need to be careful. He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, what folly it is to him. Part of it, like to illustrate it this way, there was a story told of two men that worked in the audit department of a very large bank, and they'd gone to one of the branches to do an audit. And they were sitting in a restaurant one night, and they were talking about their audit the next day. And one of the auditors told the other one, he said, first we're going to hit the tellers, and then we're going to get the vault in the morning. But there was a policeman sitting in a booth nearby, and he heard that. When the auditors showed up at the bank the next morning, the police were waiting, and they arrested him. Because these guys were there to hit the tellers and then take the vault. See, the policeman, he was right in what he did. He made an assumption. But it was the wrong assumption. And the facts that he had fit all the details. You see, they were just going to audit the bank. Be careful about speaking on a subject. And one of the things that I've also found is true when it talks about he that answereth the matter, the Scripture speaks repeatedly about in the mouth of two or three witnesses, does it not? Do you recognize that it's talking about eyewitnesses? It's talking about I was there. One isn't enough. Because if you will notice, you can do a study of eyewitnesses, and eyewitnesses are so wrong so often. And five people can see the same thing and see five different things. And I'm going to go a step further. The same thing applies to family, because if everybody has family get-togethers, right? A subject comes up and everybody's sitting around together. Yes, we're all in agreement. This is the way it is. Well, guess what? You all are wired the same. Smiths get together. We're not all wired exactly the same, but you know, we have some commonality, common background, common raising. So just because my family gets together and say, well, we heard something or we see a situation and this is the way it is, well, your family might get together and you can all pat yourself on the back and yeah, we understand and everybody else is wrong. Well, you're talking about one family. See, your why are the same too. So when we talk about hearing a matter and two or three witnesses, it's got to go beyond people that just think like I think that have my same last name. You understand there's a difference. It's when there's diversity that there is a concurring opinion or thoughts based on facts that maybe there's reality to it. So just put that out there for caution in marriages, at work, in school, in every situation we face. There are sometimes things, and I'm going to go a step further here as well. There are things that are said sometimes out of frustrations. Have you ever said something because you were frustrated and really you didn't mean it? See, because in my book, and sisters, listen now. This is the way probably the men are wired a little bit more too, and it's a generality. But I come from a perspective, if someone says something, that's what they mean. They said it. I come from a perspective that if people say something, even if they say they didn't mean it later, there was something down deep behind it that caused them to say it. So if you're going to say something, say, well, I didn't mean it. I'm sitting there scratching my head thinking, but there was something behind why you said it then. But there are times people do say things out of frustration that maybe they really did not mean. And then it means that if we're going to want to really understand what's going on, understand what was behind it, and maybe the words they said were completely 100% inaccurate, but what was it behind it that caused the frustration that maybe I could change as a husband, as a father, as a co-worker, as a pastor? You see what I'm saying? There are things then that we need to sometimes even get beyond the facts. Sisters, is that okay? Get beyond sometimes it's not just an issue. Well, if, you know, 1 + 2 = 3. I could debate that with you all day, and we can talk about the mathematical proofs and properties and all those things, but sometimes it's not about the proof. Sometimes it's about what's underneath it. It takes time, folks, sometimes to understand situations. And if we love people, marriages, again, every relationship, it's going to take some time sometimes. There's a scripture very familiar, again, over in Matthew in the 18th chapter, in the 15th verse. It says, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault with the whole church. And if he hears you, you've gained your credibility. Is that what it says? It's not, is it? If your brother trespasses against you, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. I think there are a lot of problems that would be solved if people would start right here. What about marriages? You have a problem with your husband or your wife? I've said in groups before, listening to a husband or wife run their companion down, folks, it ought never to be. Never. When I took my vows, I promised to protect my wife's reputation like I do my own. All right? I don't want my wife out. Well, it's just family. You ought to be extra careful when it's just family. See? You have a problem, it starts at home, see? And there is a place for counsel. I want to preface this. There's a place for counsel and advice, but I want to say that any counsel or advice always comes back on the person seeking it. All right? So I'll just tell you all, if you come to me for counsel in your marriage, you know who's going to get counsel? You are. It's not about them, it's about you. And there are times as husbands and wives to hear it in groups, just making these little snide remarks about their husband or wife. Folks, that ought never to be in our marriages. Okay? But if there's a problem in marriage, who do you go to? I'm going to go call my mom. Mom ought never to hear about it. I have never one time, I said that I think that I can think of, I don't think I've ever said anything negative about my wife to anybody, to my parents. I mean, you know, our family jokes back and forth, but I'm talking about a problem or something negative. I don't think I have ever, that I know of, that I can think of. Do you know, my wife could say the same thing, I think. That's the way it ought to be, folks. It starts, and if there's a problem, go to your husband. Go to your wife for the purpose of reconciliation. Now, this said if your brother, what about your brother, your sister, literal family member in the congregation? If you're offended, or if you've been offended, or if you have a problem with someone, the Bible says, go to him alone. I don't want to do that. I had a situation a while back. There were some things I felt like need to be dealt with, but I really didn't want to go deal with it. So you know what? The Lord let me know. Then you have no business talking about it to anybody else. This isn't a right here. This isn't something we have to do, but it's saying if you're going to deal with it, you go do it alone. You don't bring in your friends or your family that's going to back you up and agree with you to try to get enough people on your side. You are going to try to bring reconciliation where you believe there's an ought in a problem. Do you see where this could work in homes and congregations and even on the job? Someone on your job is, you don't go run into the boss. One of the boys' teachers the other day did something that I was not happy with at all. And I'll just confess, I was not a happy camper. You've heard that expression. They dropped the ball on something pretty, what I felt like was pretty rough at the time. I called them directly and talked to them. Now, I could have called the principal, but guess what? I would have drawn somebody else into it, could have gotten the teacher in trouble or got them reprimanded. But do you know, that's not what it's about. It's about fixing a problem. If there's an issue, go to them yourself first. And then if you can't, that's when you bring someone else into it. Is this just basic practical counsel? Folks, it would take care of a lot of situations. Be careful about answering a matter, and if there's a problem, start. Go into yourself, and it's for the purpose of not laying them out. It's, I want to be reconciled. And I'll just offer this as a little side note, a piece of advice. If someone you have a problem with someone, or there's an ought or an offense, it's usually best to go humble yourself and acknowledge that, you know what, it seems like there's a problem here. What can I do? Rather than going and say, okay, boom, boom, boom. You know, this is what you did wrong. This is what you need to do. Rather, if our purpose is for reconciliation, it's, you know what, it seems like there's a problem, and I wanted to hear your thoughts. What can we do together? What can I do to bring about a resolution to this? There are some things, and we're getting close on time, there are some things that we don't need to answer, period. He that answereth the matter before he heareth, well, I'm going to go get all the facts, then I can know every side of this situation, and then I can make some correct assessments. First question is it any of your business? If it's not, stay out of it. Yes, but someone came to me and stay out of it. Is it your business? Is that fair? Come on now. There are some things that we need to learn because we are innately curious as humans, are we not? But you know what curiosity did to the cat too, right? It'll get you in trouble. Paul Peter addressed it. He talked about over in 1 Peter 4:15. We'll run through this quickly. So let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer. It's like, wow, that's some pretty rough stuff. Murder? Oh, thank the Lord I'm not. Evildoer, thief? Oh, I'm good. Or as a busybody in other men's matters. Do you see what he put busybodies with? Thieves and murderers and evildoers. I remember years ago I was in a meeting and I made the comment. I said, I have yet to have someone come to me or even acknowledge, say, yep, I'm a busybody. And towards the end of that service, a sister stood up in the back and she said, I'm a busybody. Now, I don't know how she's been doing. It's been a number of years, and I haven't gone and asked her. She's still a busybody. But none of us like, who likes to think of themselves as a busybody? But a busybody is someone that is intent and has this desire and follows through on the desire to meddle in other people's business when it's really not their own business. All right? Now, he said, don't suffer as a busybody, and there's much that could be said about that, but it's the inspector of another. Do you have the inspector badge on, the church policeman? That I'm the inspector, and I heard this, and then I'm going to go here and see there. I want us to understand there's a place, especially for the ministry, to have to deal with problems sometimes, all right? There's that place that is given. There's a duty and a responsibility. But sometimes even for the ministers, need to back off. You know what? It's a situation. I can't make a difference anyway, so just be quiet and step back. And there are those situations that you will find in every area where there's interpersonal relationships. Let's be careful. I don't want to be a meddler in things that don't pertain to me. You'll get a dog by the ears. When you get a dog by the ears, folks, it's hard to let go without getting bit. Scripture talks about those that are wandering from house to house, idle and tattlers, busybodies, speaking things which they ought not, talking about gossip, folks. I gave a definition of gossip. It's a person that creates smoke in which other people assume there's fire. Because you've heard the expression, where there's smoke, there's fire. I want to tell you something. That's not true when it comes to these kinds of things. There are some people that cause smoke, and there's really no fire. There is a little illustrated. I use the word preachers here loosely, all right? These were unsaved, secular preachers. Maybe you heard the story of the four preachers that got together, and they said, you know, people come to us, and they confess their problems and their needs, and they said, I think it would be good for us to do that just amongst us. Let's confess our needs. And one of them said, finally, they talked about it. And one said, sometimes I lose my temper. And that's a problem I have. Another one says, you know what, I like to smoke a good cigar from time to time. That's a problem I have. Another one said, you know, I like to golf so much, sometimes I tell people I'm sick so I can get away on the weekend and go play golf. They looked at the fourth minister, preacher. Like I said, these brethren, I'd call them preachers, but they really weren't of God. And they said, what's you need to confess to? You agreed to this. And he said, I won't. And they said, no, you need to. And he said, my problem is I like to gossip and I can hardly wait to get out of here. Be careful. What goes around comes around, folks. Be careful. And if you have been brought into someone's confidence, guard it. And I'm going to say something publicly here too. To the children, the young people, and to the adults. What goes on down at the altar stays at the altar. You come and share something, it's confidential. It's confidential when that qualification is made, if it's outside of this place. It's a place that should be respected, that this is between me and God. And if there's someone that's praying with me or entering into a burden or I'm receiving counsel, it's not going to go any further than that. There have been people that have been betrayed that way. And I'll go a step further. There are some times that we bear the brunt when we keep confidences, and we're the ones that end up getting in trouble because of it. You want to hear the other side of it? Well, can't do it because I'm confident. So the minister gets in trouble. But guess what? That's part of it. But I want to encourage you, even if you're not a minister, keep confidences. Keep confidences. In closing, I'll just point you to Ezekiel in the third chapter. God had given Ezekiel a message to take to the people. And he told Ezekiel, he said, they're not going to listen to you, but I want you to go tell them anyway. And Ezekiel went in the heat of his spirit. I've got a message from God. The Lord has given me a message, and he went in the heat of his spirit. Folks, first of all, even if you do know what's right and you've got a message from God, be careful about going in the heat of your spirit. Because it comes out fleshly then when really it was the Lord's message. So Ezekiel got there and he looked at the people and he didn't deliver his message. It said he sat down, he sat where they sat, by the river Shebar, I believe it says, for 7 days he just sat in amazement where they sat. He sat and gained some perspective. What are these people thinking? Where are they coming from? What's behind what they're doing? And then he was able to give the message of the Lord to try to connect with them in a way that was not in the heat of his spirit. He that answereth a matter before he heareth, it is a folly and it is a shame.